Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured, because his demon was envious, cruel, and sinful. He has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Purport. Krishna consciousness means innocent devotional life, and a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna, as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Bhajante mam ananya bhak sadur eva samantavya. Anyone who is fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and other coward men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing as a human child, and that his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. In the material world, because of the intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in sinful life more and more. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna, Samudbhavaha. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitunam Cha. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence. And when it is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. In devotional life, one has faith in this process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. Rakshi Shatiti Vishvaso. Hari Bhakti Vilas 11676. One of the processes of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna, convinced that he will give one all protection. That Krishna will protect the devotee is a fact. And Nanda Maharaj and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan accepted this very simply, although they did not know that the Supreme Lord himself was present before them. There have been many instances in which a devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, has been put into difficulty even by his father, but has been saved under all circumstances. Therefore, our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. So the verse again. Aho bhatat yadbhutam esha rakshasa balo navrittim gamito bhagat pyagat punaha himsra swapapena vihimsita kala sadhu samatvena bhayad vimuchite. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Because his demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyate Satarna. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chatur Sloki verses, 10th chapter, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Pravo Matak Saram Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. And in the translation, Prabhupada uses the word that Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Pravavo, that I am the source of everything, Matak Saram Pravartate. Pravartate, everything is emanating from me, or everything is flowing from me. So if Krishna is all good, how can there be any bad? If everything is coming from Krishna, and Krishna is all good, so how can there be anything that's bad? In the ultimate sense, there is nothing bad. The only thing that's bad is that we're bad. Everything else is good. And we're bad because we choose not to accept the good. And in proportion that we don't accept the good, then we become bad. Because Krishna is all good, and anything less than Krishna is not as good, or we could say, not as good means bad. But actually, everything is good. As we heard that story many times, everything Krishna does is good. When the minister, the king had a minister, and whatever the king said, whatever happened, the minister was very optimistic, and he said, everything Krishna does is good. The king, of course, he got a little bored hearing that everything Krishna does is good. It's almost like devotees ask a question, and the answer is, chant Hare Krishna. We don't even have to answer whatever question there is. We just say, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. So the king was getting a little tired. He said, why you keep on saying whatever Krishna does is good? Everything that happens is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. So one day, the king was out hunting. Actually, what happened is that one day, the king was hunting, yes, and the arrow slipped, and it cut off his finger. And he went to the minister and said, what should I do? Don't worry about it. Everything Krishna does is good. What do you mean? I just had my finger cut off. You're telling me that's good? Yes. Everything Krishna does is good. Oh, really? So if I throw you into jail, that's also good? Yes. Everything Krishna does is good. All right, I'm throwing you into jail. Is that good? Yes, everything Krishna does is good. A little after that, there were some rogues. They were stealing the king's cows. The king went out with his army to defend the cows, and he got lost from the army, and he wound up being captured by the rogues. They took him, not knowing that he was the king, and they said, let's offer him to Durga. So they took him to offer him to Durga, bathed him, fed him, and they were just about to cut off his head and offer him before the deity of Durga, where the priest said, wait a second, this man only has 9 fingers. He's imperfect. He's not worthy to be offered to the deity Durga. So the rogues told the king, he said, sorry, you only have 9 fingers. We can't sacrifice you. Better off next time. So they threw him out. So he wandered back and was very happy that he wasn't qualified to be offered to the deity Durga. And he came to the prison where the minister was in prison. And he said, thank you very much. I've become a devotee now. Everything Krishna does is good. I'm only wondering, why did Krishna have me throw you into prison? What good is that? So the minister said, well, I'm always accompanying you wherever you go. If I would have been separated with you from the army, then the rogues would have caught you and me. You have 9 fingers, I have 10. They would have sacrificed me. Therefore, by Krishna's mercy, You put me into prison. So everything Krishna does is good. Tattenukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhakam ridvag vabubir vidadanamaste jiveta tad bhukti sadesa dayabhak. So this is a verse spoken by Lord Brahma, and he said, tat. Tat's the easiest word in the language for an English, in the Sanskrit language, for an English person to learn. Does anyone know what tat means? What's that? That, yes. How can you remember that tat means that? Just add an H, and you get that. Tattenu kampam, anu kampam. Kampam means compassionate, and anu kampam, anu means to follow continuously. So continuous compassion. It's not that Krishna sometimes feels compassionate, and then another time he's indifferent. He's continuously compassionate. Tattenu kampam su. What does su means? Yeah. Actually, su means space. Actually, not space. It means, yeah, good. It means good. Su-sa-sama. What does sama mean? Equally, yes, equal. What's that?
Su means also auspicious.
Yes, also. Good. Yes, good. Auspicious. Su-sama-iksha. What does iksha mean? To see. Sama susu mikshamano. And mano? Within the mind. So we have two things. We have the mind and we have the intelligence. We see with our intelligence, actually. According to how much intelligence we have, that's what we see. There's a reality out there, but we may not see the reality. If we don't have pure intelligence, we see through our intelligence. And it appears within the mind and produces feelings. So according to how we see things, that's how we're going to feel. Someone may see something, probably gives the example, that what he personally experienced, that there was one butcher, maybe he wasn't a butcher, but anyway, one man and his son were in the garden, and the man wanted to eat some chicken. So he went out to the garden where the chickens were, and he cut off the chicken's head. And the chicken was running around, blood was spurting from his neck, and the man was laughing, and the child was crying. So the man was telling his child, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" So for him, it was exciting to see. It was interesting. For the child, it was horrible. Both seeing the same thing. One sees it wonderful. The other sees it's horrible. So according to one's intelligence. It appears within the mind, according to our vision, and it's either we get different emotions. So sama means equal. So when one has good intelligence, when one has a good vision, all these different things he can see are all good, equally good. So that's pure consciousness. Everything is equally good. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So why is it that if everything is good, why are we experiencing something as bad? That's due to our past activities. Because of what we've done in the past, therefore we become conditioned by the material nature, and therefore sometimes it appears to us that something is good and something is bad. Because to become Krishna conscious is good, to be conscious of Krishna is good, but when we're not conscious of Krishna, the suffering we go through is actually also good because it helps us become Krishna conscious. Like Ravana, he wanted to build a stairway to heaven. And his criteria for those who were eligible to take to the stairway were as follows. If you were a demon and you did all kinds of sinful activities, then you were eligible to take the stairway to heaven. And if you were a pious person, then he'd send you to hell. That's what happens when a certain type of person becomes the head of the state. That if you're good, then you're bad. And if you're bad, then you're good. Because everyone thinks they're good. So if I'm a demon, I'm doing all kinds of bad things. Well, that's good. And if you're a good person doing all kinds of good things, then that's bad. So therefore, bunjana evatmakritam vipakam, if I see things properly, then I can understand that if there is something I think is bad, it's actually, if I'm suffering, it's really not bad. It's meant to teach me not to do the activities that I've done to cause my suffering. And if I don't do them, then there won't be any more suffering. Ridvag vapu virvi didanamaste. But if I react to my suffering, and if I don't react properly, then I'll simply create another cause for my suffering in the future. If I think I'm a victim, actually they're the culprit, he's my enemy, and I've killed him, and all my other enemies will also be killed. Then by implicating myself in that way, I'll simply be furthering my problems. It's like if we're in quicksand, we're sinking into the earth, and we struggle to get out of it, then we sink only faster. It's only when we put up our arms and someone comes along and tries to pull us out. So within my heart, we should pray for Krishna's mercy. With our body, mind, and words, we should take shelter of Krishna, and then jivaya dak. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapuvir vidadanamaste jivete yad bhukti sade sadayabhak. So then sadayabhak, one becomes qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. Tolerance. Nowadays, people are not, they don't understand what tolerance. It's not exactly the most, if you go to school, they don't teach you tolerance. If something's 5 minutes late, people are complaining. Still in India, it's not like that. You go to India, something's 5 hours late, people check the watch. Say, it seems like it's late. No, it's almost on time. It always comes 5 hours late. Probably you were 2 hours late. No. I'm almost on time. But people are generally quite impatient, because they're being pushed by the modes of nature. They think they're God, they're in control, everything should happen according to their desire. If everything doesn't happen exactly according to the desire, it's just like proof to them that they're not God. It's a great insult. It's a great source of anxiety. Why is not everything happening according to my desire? But if one can tolerate, come to Tiksha Svabharata, then Yamina Vyantyantyate Purusham Purusharshadva. Then he becomes eligible to actually enter into the kingdom of God. Why such tolerance? Actually, at the beginning, even in devotional life, there is something called piety, or at least regulating one's sinful activities. The Vedas, first of all, instruct us, just regulate your sinful activities. They don't tell people to stop sinful activities. That's why in the Vedas, there are so many different instructions for different people. Even if you're a meat eater, they tell you what sacrifice to perform to eat meat. There's no sacrifice to kill cows to eat them. But if you want to eat meat, you can eat a goat burger. Has anyone here ever had a goat burger? Luckily, you don't know what you're missing. But there's goat burgers in the Vedic culture. You take a goat to the hill where there's no one, whisper into his ear, and I love you. I love to eat you. Full dark moon night, when there is new moon night, when there's no moon, no one can see, you whisper in the ear, I'm going to eat you. You whisper into the ear, I'm going to cut your throat, and I'm going to eat you, but don't worry, now I'm cutting your throat, but in the future, you can cut my throat. I'll come back as a goat, you can come back as a human being, and you can cut my throat. And we can both enjoy goat burgers. So you do that enough times, enough full moon, however good the goat burger may be, it may taste not so tasteful. You start thinking, chant the mantra enough times, I'm going to cut your throat and become a goat. Then after a while you start thinking, oh my God, how many times have I eaten goat, the same old goat? I don't want to have anyone cut my throat. So you lose your taste for goat burgers after a while. You all try the vegetarian menu for a while. So by chanting the Vedic mantras, after a while, one gives up one's desire for sinful activity. Well, we have to do something. So the Vedic literature gives us some alternative, some pious activity. Offer in charity, do some austerity, etc., etc. And then you go up to the heavenly planets, or you get wealth, or you get a nice wife or a husband, you get children, do something pious and you get a good result. So then people do that. And they get whatever they want. And it's all temporary. So although it may cause some happiness, but after a while one suffers, when one loses it. And therefore, one is still dissatisfied. So for a devotee, giving up sinful activities, accepting pious activities, then the next thing is tolerance, accepting sinful reactions, tolerating them. And so this is what this is describing, that actually it's all being done by Krishna. I shouldn't react to it. I shouldn't hanker for good things or avoid bad things or lament over the bad things. I should tolerate things and fix my mind upon Krishna. Then the result is that one can actually rise up to the platform of real devotional service, where everything becomes auspicious. There's no more anxiety, what's happening today, or what's going to happen tomorrow, or in 100 years. One knows one is under Krishna's protection. And if one becomes Krishna conscious, then one is achieving the perfection of life. There's nothing better we can do than to become Krishna conscious. It's not that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're kept in the dark, and they don't really know about all the wonderful things going on in the material world. And if they had an opportunity, they'd all come here and enjoy like we're trying to enjoy. No, in the spiritual world, everything is ever more wonderful, not only for the devotees, but also for Krishna. Vishaya vinivartante nirharasyade hinam rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So if we're actually experiencing the wonder of becoming conscious of Krishna, then we can learn tolerance simultaneously. And by learning tolerance and fixing mind upon Krishna, one's activities actually become devotional. Then we can understand what it actually means to serve Krishna without any selfish interest. And then one can actually realize what Krishna and Krishna's devotees, what they're doing, what their existence is all about. We can experience it. And when one becomes completely absorbed in such consciousness, then he becomes completely in love with Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. So the great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Nayava Dvide Paradratya Vaitranya Swavirya Gayana Mahamrita Magni Chitak Sochevi Mukacheta Sindriyarta Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvatovi Bhutan. So although he was faced with so many problems, if we're working in the kitchen, someone spills a little bit of ghee or oil on us, immediately we're crying, we're being rushed to the hospital, bandage our finger. But he was thrown into a pot of burning oil, boiling oil, and he finished his rounds. He didn't complain, he just chanted his rounds. Nothing else to do here. It's going to take a while to cook me, so I better, might as well chant my rounds. He was thrown off a cliff. He didn't yell out, Mommy. He just kept on chanting Hare Krishna. Because he was Prema Bhakta, therefore he had the mystic, Krishna was mystically protecting him. We may not be so advanced, so we shouldn't try throwing ourselves in a pot of oil to finish our rounds. Everyone's bothering me. If I go into this pot of oil, no one will bother me. But still, we can see the power of the holy name, the power of concentrating on Krishna. And if we do that, then all the problems of material existence will become aloof from them. It's not that they're not there, because the problems are for the body. There's always going to be problems with the body. There's nothing we can do to avoid problems with the body. We may take our vitamins, we may do our exercise, we may follow a perfect diet, we may be kind to all living entities, but still the body grows old and dies. But we are not going to grow old, nor will we die. But if we don't get out of accepting material bodies, we continuously have to be in bodies or in bodies that grow old and die. But if we tolerate these things and we learn tolerance, then at the time of death, one can also be tolerant. Esha Brahmi Siti Partha Nanyam Prapti Vimuyati Siddhvasyam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvana Richati. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered, being so situated even at the hour of death, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So what's the secret of entering into the kingdom of God? Vihaya Kamiyak Sarvam Pumam Sharati Nispriha Nirmamo Nirahankara Sashanti Madhigachati. Vihaya means to give up. One who gives up, Vihaya Kama, lust. So how do we give up lust? It's very difficult to give up lust. But if we become aware of Krishna, we become hankering after Krishna, then we'll forget the hankering of the material world. Yaksar Pumams Charati Nispriha. And as desires. If we desire Krishna, Krishna consciousness, then we'll forget about desiring in the material energy. Nirmamo, nothing belongs to me. Nirahankara, then we can give up our false ego, that this body is the center of the universe, the center of my love and attention, when Krishna becomes the center of our love and attention. When we accept that everything is meant for Krishna's service. So that takes training, but if one is trained as such, then even at the hour of death, one can remain fixed in Krishna consciousness and become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Mm-hmm.